Psalm 19, 25 through 32. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments have I laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart.
Let us pray. God, our souls long for you. We long for your kingdom, for the world made right, because so much feels broken around us. We pray for the people in Gaza, struggling to survive. We pray for our siblings in faith in Nigeria, living under the threat of ever more attacks. Bring an end to the violence, we pray. God, we long for peace. We pray for the homeless and hungry people out in the cold of winter. We lift up Quinera, struggling with serious health issues. And for Rena, who was injured herself in another fall. We pray for Kevin, whose mental illness was a danger to himself this week. Lord, have mercy. Comfort those who mourn, we pray. We lift up the family of Pam's sister, enduring sorrow after 3 deaths in the last 6 weeks. We pray, too, for a Juniata grad who just lost his wife to leukemia, and for their 2-year-old son and 5-year-old daughter. Watch over Eddie as he recovers from surgery. Give him relief from the pain. Be with Corey's dad as he's scheduled for surgery this week. Take care of the family of Matt's brother, Andrew, as his wife and child undergo treatment for a genetic heart problem. Bless Tara's niece, expecting the birth of her son Enzo this week, who will need heart surgery shortly after he's born. Keep them healthy, mother and child, we pray. We lift up Carol's great-grandson, Waylon, with cardiac issues of his own, now living with cancer, too. Lord, have mercy. Comfort and care for Waylon and his family, too, we pray. Bless Kate as she has returned home. May she find some relief from the pain in her neck and back. And give strength and patience to Kim's mom as she recovers from a knee replacement last week. Watch over Kim, too, preparing for a liver catheterization procedure for cancer this week. Take care of Luke's mom, who is in the hospital with an infection, and Jeff's cousin, having a bone marrow transplant for a recurrence of cancer. We pray for Nicole, diagnosed with stage 2 appendix cancer with surgery and chemo ahead, and ask you to watch over Rick's family, still grieving the death of Rick's sister, even as his nephew Manuel is having serious health challenges too. Be with Tara's father, Buck, and her mother, Sally, while Buck continues to recover from a recent bout with pneumonia. And we pray for Tyree, who continues his long wait for justice as his next hearing approaches. Give him peace as he waits. God, it is all so much. Please, Lord, hear our prayers. Our souls melt from heaviness, O Lord. Revive us, we pray. Heal our brokenness. As we seek you, may you be found and found faithful. Deliver us into new life. Bring peace and justice to your world. Thank you for this community, this church family that stands together and supports one another through it all. May we be a part of your work in the world, bringing healing to the nations, striving ever onward, doing our part, trusting in you with faith beyond sight, all the way to the end and beyond. In your name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 119, verses 161 through 168. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Thank you. The psalmist sang that their soul pants for God. The killers claimed to have soul but denied being soldiers. Jewel wondered, who will save your soul? The Blues Brothers are sure they are soul men. And Charlie Daniels thinks the devil has a fiddle of gold, which you can win if you're willing to bet your soul. I think we keep using this word soul, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. In all seriousness, we do use the word soul a lot, but can you define it? If you can, you're doing better than HarperCollins' Bible Dictionary. The reality is there are a lot of conceptions of the soul. Some people think it is the non-material part of us trapped in our material bodies, waiting to be released to live on forever after our deaths. Some people may argue that it is the divine spark that is present in each of us. But when we look at the word being used in our text from Deuteronomy and try to gain an understanding that is more similar to that of the ancient Hebrews, a very different definition of the soul begins to emerge. The word that we translate as soul is, as I taught the kids, nephesh. And nephesh is a really rich word. It can refer to our full living being, as in Genesis, when God blows life into the human and it becomes a living being. It says it becomes a living nephesh. The concept of nephesh being something separate and disconnected from our physical bodies is not a Hebrew concept at all. It's a Greek one. And so our bodies and our souls are necessarily entwined in the same ways that the physical neural processes that trigger emotion or consciousness or other non-material pieces of ourselves, those are also connected. And nephesh is wrapped up in all these things, in our drive, in our desire, in our passion. And none of those things are disconnected from our physical bodies or disconnected from our actions. Our souls are our full living being. God breathed life, the breath of life, into you, and you became a living nephesh, a living soul. Which brings us to the broader question of this worship series. How does God love one with that? With their whole nephesh, with our souls. Psalm 119 is our guide for wondering about these questions this morning. Now, it's the longest psalm in the Bible, and you've already heard me say that it is an acrostic poem, which means that each 8-line section begins with a letter from the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. Acrostic poetry is a great teaching tool because it roots the reader into a single theme. In this case, you may have picked up, the theme is the law, and I'll come back to the law in just a moment. But because of the nature of each section revolving around the same theme, but beginning with different letters, you essentially have 176 ways of saying the same thing, which is roughly about the number of times we have to repeat things in order to learn them, right? It's actually intentionally repetitive, because the hope is the psalm will be read aloud again and again. Inviting meditation, inviting contemplation. James Mays praises this form's sharp simplicity and constant variation. Those variations enchant the imagination, he says, if we let them. And the rest of this sermon is an invitation to reflect as we move through these sections of poetry from Psalm 119, to reflect on your whole being. Your life, your emotions, your desires, all mixed in with your body, your talents, and your actions. It's a chance for us to take seriously, to think seriously on this thing that we sometimes take for granted or don't stop and think long and hard about because we assume we already know what a soul is. This is a space to wonder about your soul, your nephesh. Now, I noted a moment ago that Psalm 119 is focused around the theme of the law. That word is typically a stumbling block for us modern readers. We think of the law as the rules or all the things that we're not supposed to do. But that's not really a fair rendering of what was meant by the ancient Hebrews and or what they're thinking of when they say they are longing for the law or for the Torah. For them, and I hope after today for us, the law is a gift. It's not a punishment. It might be better for us to think of law as this way of life. So every time you hear law, think this way of life, this way of following Jesus that is in line with his teaching and his living. The psalmist loves this way of life because of the ways it nourishes their nefesh. And and the psalmist invites us to also love it with them. My soul is consumed with longing. Longing for your ordinances at all times. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Clearly, the psalmist is sustained by this way of life that they have chosen, this living in the midst of God's laws. It drives them and guides them. Their nephesh is in constant conversation with this way of being. It is consumed by it. Their whole being is more alive and, in fact, delighted by it. What about you? What about you? What passions make your whole being come alive? The Lilly Foundation asks the question this way: what makes your heart sing? My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. I suspect that many of us are familiar with the experience of our souls melting under the heaviness of the world, of grief or pain, of chronic illness or violence, of injustice or despair. When has sorrow melted your drive? When has sorrow melted your commitment to the ways of Jesus, to a life that loves God and others? The psalmist finds strength in God's word in reading and meditating on it. God's word is a reminder of who we are and whose we are. The psalmist and any one of us can simply walk out into creation and remember. We can listen to the stories of faith and remember. That remembering both of who we are and who we have chosen to be by committing to this particular way, that remembering brings the psalmist's soul back to life. So where in your nephesh do you need to be reminded? Reminded of who you really are. Reminded of your choices and commitments to faithfulness. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. The nephesh holds on to the stories, to the testimonies that keep us rooted in our faith, rooted in God's love, stories of awe, joy, peace, love, hope, stories of strength when all looked impossible, of liberation and faithfulness. You are filled with the stories of God at work, and telling them brings life, not just to your soul, but to the souls around you. So what are the stories that your nephesh loves? The ones that show you who you want to be, that guide and inspire you, that fill you up and make you want to share. I cling to them. I cling to your stories, your testimonies, O Lord. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So what, my friends, is a soul? Or perhaps the question is more accurately put, how are you a soul? How are you a soul? How are you unique and alive with passions, desires, capabilities? And how are you out in the world with those things, all connected together? How are you, as a living nephesh, paying attention, noticing, sharing stories of faithfulness? How are you a soul loving God? Amen. Family of faith, may you go and love God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your soul, all your living all your passions, desires, all your stories and actions. Love God with your full nephesh. Go knowing that your soul is loved. Amen.